Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of Radio Westerns. Later on, James Stewart is the six shooter, but right now, William Boyd stars as Hopalong Cassidy. In a syndicated broadcast from March 26th, 1951, called Death Comes Invited.
With action and suspense out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd and Andy Clyde as California. Well, Hoppy, what about our story?
It's one I call Death Comes Invited, and it began one day in eastern Nevada near the town of Franklin. California and I were on our way back to the Bar 20 with nothing more on our minds than where to stop for the night. Then California decided things were too quiet.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie where the coyotes holler and the wind...
And they shoot people for singing like that.
Gone a Hoppy. What's wrong with my boy?
Nothing, except it sounds like you gargle with tags.
Oh, but I feel so blame good, I just guttle it off some steam. Is she? Hey, look.
That bunch are riding mighty hard. And a hard-looking bunch they are, too.
Hi, strangers. Think it's a horse trader.
Sorry, we're not in
that. That's no time to argue. Two of my men are riding double, as you can see. Their horse is winded, but not killed. You can have him, but we'll take yours. Quick now. You have 5 seconds. Get off or be shot off. That's better. Vic, you and Cash take these horses.
Mister, we'll be coming after our horses, even if we have to chase you to Texas.
Easy, stranger. Jack Benno's got no grudge against you, and I reckon I understand a man's regard for his horse. We'll send him to you in Franklin a day or so. Adios!
You darn thieves, watch me.
No, put it away.
Oh, but doggone, I could have bored one sure before they rounded that bend.
Yeah, and maybe hit one of the horses. I'd rather have Topper back safe than take revenge. Come on, we'll ride that horse double into town.
He sure is a tired horse. We won't go fast.
That's better than walking. Uh-oh, more company.
Hey, the old geezer's wearing the badge. It's a posse.
Well, howdy, gents. I'm Sheriff Cullum. You see a bunch of hard cases riding fast and led by a tall gent wearing two-gun flow, but sword for cross-draw.
Right ahead of you, Sheriff.
You're lying. Ike, we're getting a bum steer. You notice?
My eyes ain't that poor yet, Johnny Mark.
Sheriff, I don't know who your deputy is, but I don't like being called a liar by anyone.
Don't blame me none for all my aggravating that insult.
What are we waiting for? You, shut those guns.
Again? Getting so all we're seeing is guns.
Just sit easy, Johnny. Sit easy. Fellas, reckon you'd best drop them guns like Johnny asked you to do. Don't want you to get excited when I arrest you for robbery and murder. Johnny, you take these two hombres back to town. We'll just...
Sheriff, can you read tracks?
Ain't no use to get sarcastic, son. I'm just doing my duty.
Well, before we get hanged by mistake, you better read the sign in front of you. We were held by Veno's gang, forced to change horses. They left this one and...
Ike, let me handle him. I'll teach him to keep
quiet.
Shut
up, Johnny, shut up. I'm reading. Pretty messed up with tracks, Richards. Well, bust me. Give them their guns back.
What? You're out of your mind, Ike.
Ain't the sheriff just yet, Bucko. I said give back their guns. Strangers, reckon the sign bears you out.
Thanks. You've lost your chance to catch that gang.
Maybe not. Better let the old fella ride. He looks a little feeble to me. All right, let's get going.
Feeble? Why, you darn old fool, I can outride, outwalk, outfight you, outshoot you,
talk him 6 ways to Sunday. He's gone. We might as well head for Franklin.
I'll bet he has a worse time getting up of a cold morning than I do. Why, he must be 90 if he's a day.
What'll it be?
Sarsaparilla for both of us.
You mean straight sarsaparilla?
That's right, but don't worry. We can handle it.
What's the matter, mister? Buckeye giving you trouble?
No, not me, Sherry. Not me.
I like the way you stand up. Name?
Hopalong Cassidy. My partner, California Carlson.
I'm plumb pleased to meet you.
What man isn't? I'm Sherry King. Born Maggie Bates, if you're the curious type. Say, you are a good-looking one, aren't you, Cassidy?
I think we'd better get our rooms at the hotel.
Yeah, I'll do it, Hoppy. No use both of us.
Now, wait, California.
Now we'll be better off alone. Come on, let's try a table. See, you can tell me how you'd like to take me out of all this. I won't even ask for a drink.
Well, maybe you can tell me who Jack Benno is and what happened here this afternoon.
Benno? Well, he's a gunfighter who brought a gang into this county a few months ago. Been raising Cain. Robbed the bank today, and one of the tellers got in his way.
The teller, is he?
They'll bury him tomorrow. But let's not talk about Benno.
Funny, with Sheriff Cullum here, I'd think this would be the last place a bandit gang would start operating.
Cullum's getting old. Even Johnny admits it. That's Johnny Mark, a beau of mine. He's Cullum's deputy.
I've met him.
I wish Cullum would catch Benno and get it over with. Every week or so, a stage gets held up or a payroll stolen. Then for days, Cullum has Johnny out riding on those darn posses. Why, I don't know. They never find Benno and his men.
Well, that's...
On your way, cowpoke. Sherry, I want to talk with you.
Paul Washington. My friend, Mr. Cassidy.
Didn't you hear me? I said, on your way.
Yeah, I heard you, but I feel kind of lazy.
So maybe a bullet between your feet will...
Will what? Get it out, Washington. What's your beef?
Maybe I made a mistake.
You sure did when you reached for a gun. He beat you a mile, Paul.
Shut up.
Why, you...
No, Sherry, don't hit him.
No man tells me to shut up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, so long, Miss Sherry. Nice to have met you.
Come again, Cassidy. Buckeye!
Yeah, Miss Sherry. Where will I dump
him? Out back. Buckeye? You think I scared him off?
Cassidy?
Yeah.
He didn't look like the scaring type to me.
Yeah. Well, I bet he hasn't got much money. The nice ones never do, do they?
Hi, Sheriff. I saw you come back. Any luck?
Nary a speck. Seems those critters wrap in a hole and pull it in after him, eh, Johnny?
Yeah. 3 stage holdups, 2 payrolls stolen, now the bank. Town's getting awful riled up, Ike.
Thanks for telling me. But they put up with me, Sheriff, for 20 years. Reckon I'll do for a bit longer. I'll fix Reno's wagon as soon as I figure out who's in cahoots with his gang.
Cahoots?
Somebody here in town tips his gang to payroll shipments and watch stages to rob. Has to be. Ain't nobody lucky enough to be right every time.
Who's in charge of the stage office in Wells Fargo?
A man by name of Paul Washington. Oh, he's a tough one. But I reckon he wouldn't throw in with no outlaws against his own company.
Wouldn't seem likely unless he needed money bad.
Who don't? Could use a little myself, what with the town getting itchy to kick me out of office.
Well, if my partner and I can help, call us.
Thanks. Let me know when and if those horses of yours are returned. Maybe we can backtrack them.
I will.
Good. Johnny, my leg's stiffening again. Rub it out for me, will you, son?
The tracks seem to come from up there, Sheriff. Whoever brought our horses back last night came from those rocks.
I reckon so. That's the same country the gang hides in. You know, this could be a little dangerous. Now, let's scatter out as we head up. No point in asking for an ambush.
Out on the lone prairie. That don't sound so bad to me. Wonder if I should.
Get a gold, Hawk. Get a gold. Hoppy!
Here, California.
Watch the shoulder.
Over where Johnny Mark is. Let's go afoot.
Where's that old scalawag, Cal? He fall behind?
No, he was on the other side of Mark. Mark!
Stay back! Up on the ridge. Rifleman! You got the sheriff in the lake.
Keep that ambusher busy. We'll get around back of him. This way, California.
Come on.
We not so fast.
It's not far. Just up around that big rock.
I hope there's only one man there.
Careful now. Look at the rock.
Don't hear no shots. Maybe he's out of cartridges. Then maybe he ain't.
Shh. There he is. Freeze, mister. Get his gun, California, and signal Mark to stop firing. We've got him.
The hombre who plugged Ike, huh?
Yeah, but he's not saying anything.
Well, maybe you didn't ask him right. You. What's your name?
Smith. What's yours?
What's your real name?
Oh, you don't. That's all of that.
Let go of me.
Now, stay away from him, Mark. Come on, California. Let's get that prisoner on a horse. All right, fella. Wake up.
Oh. Get him on his feet. He can stand some more.
I don't see how. He's dead.
It's that blasted clumsy docks, anyhow.
You want a bullet to chomp on, old fella?
No, I don't want no that blasted bullet to chomp on.
Say, Ike, about what happened to that prisoner, Smith?
We'll talk about it later, Johnny. Reckon as it was an accident, but you've been warned plenty about getting rough.
Sure, Ike, sure, but I was mad about him shooting you.
Town needs a sheriff now. With me laid up, that means you. If Venno ain't stopped soon, we ain't neither one going to have jobs.
Sheriff, have you ever thought of trying to trap Venno?
How do you mean, Casty?
Sending out a fake payroll for bait. You could have your posse ready and trail on the stage. If Venno hits it...
Sounds like a good... Ouch! Gamble. Try it, Mark.
All right, Ike. I'll check with Washington tomorrow.
Sooner the... Ouch! Oh, Mark, before you go, give me a bullet, will you? And shoot that old goat if he cracks a smile.
I say Mark's got only one asset, his big feet. You can always hear him coming. It'll be years before he gets promoted.
Well, you're a big man now, eh, Washington? Hey, where'd you get the bump?
Tell him, Paul. Guess he's modest. Sit down, Johnny. You too, Cassidy. There's one thing I like, it's lots of men around.
Sorry, we're after Washington.
Me? Now, look, I was just buying her a drink. You can't...
On business.
Oh, let's go to my office. See you later, Sherry. Think over what I said. You can have everything you want if
you're wasting your breath, Washington. I'm what she wants.
Oh, are you? Time's coming when you're due for a surprise, Johnny Mark. A big surprise.
Hi, California. How's it coming?
Just finishing Topper's rubdown. He sure's a great horse.
You betcha.
The trap all set?
Yeah, for tomorrow night.
Hope it works. There. There, does it. You know, it's a shame everyone don't take care of his horse. See that bay over there? Been rid hard, but didn't get a rubdown.
Nah, some riders are thoughtless. Whose horse is it?
One of Johnny Mark's strain. But he was with us today. On her own.
Then someone else was riding one of his horses. I wonder...
Maybe the hombre didn't want anyone to know he was out, so he rode that bay instead of his own. We got company.
What? Venno.
Just stand quiet and let the grub look. I'd assume, boy, you was not. I thought I was doing you a favor when I sent back those horses. I didn't figure on you crossing me.
Buy a back trail on them?
That's right. I reckon we didn't have no agreement. But we're still a mighty unfriendly return. I forget that for now, though. I've come for Smitty. He in jail?
Smitty? Oh, Smith. I'm afraid he's through with you, Venno. Permanently.
He's cashed? Oh, no. Not Smitty.
He ambushed us and we caught him. He had kind of an accident and hit his head on a rock. It killed him.
Smitty tripped. He fell off his horse?
Well, not exactly.
Who did it, then? Who's responsible for Smith's death?
Not us, that's for sure.
Then who? Tell me.
It's not our place to tell you, Venno. Sorry.
What if I threaten to kill you? I see. You got nerve, I'll grant you that. But I'll find out who did from when I do. Smitty's gonna have company.
My guess is that Venno won't be satisfied to let Smith's death go unpunished.
Kind of looks that way.
Puts Johnny Mark in a bad spot if Fennel learns the truth. Mm. Well, the stage with the fake payroll is about to leave. I'd better join the posse.
Sure, sure. Go on. Good luck. If Fennel's bunch gets to the Rocky Country, you'll never catch him.
Seems queer how easy they duck the posse.
Second sight. That's what Fennel's got.
Washington ride with your posse?
Sure, sure. He's handy with a gun. Say, you got a hunch about him, haven't you?
Perhaps. I think I know how part of this thing fits together. After I search some saddlebags, I may have the rest of it.
They just left, Johnny. Everything all set.
Aren't you coming with us, Washington?
No, I think I better stay with the payroll.
Want some guards?
That's not necessary. I got a shotgun.
Okay. Let's go, but take it easy.
Be a big feather in your cap if we can pull this off, won't it?
Huh? Yeah, I guess so. I got a feeling this thing ain't right. I wish Ike was along.
Appears to me that Washington was mighty willing to be along with that payroll.
Yeah. You two getting the same hunch I am?
Very possibly. A few minutes ago, while I was at the livery stable, I found out that it was Washington who took your bay yesterday.
What? Well, that settles it. We'll set a trap for Venno, all right. Around Washington's office. Slim, Pat's a word. Shoot to kill.
Hoppy. You think we guessed right? Maybe we...
We guessed right. There comes the proof of it.
Horses and riders. It's him. It's Fennel. They're sure acting at home. Not even hurrying.
Why should they? They had an invitation.
Fennel! You're surrounded! Give up or die!
Hey, it's a double phone! That's the way out!
Make you the sheriff for this, Johnny. Not one of them outlaws escaped.
5 of them are done for, Johnny. Hoppy's got Washington inside the shack. Benner's over there, cashing in.
He's not dead.
Well, he ought to be, but he's dying hard.
Quick, give me a hand. We'll take him inside. You men take those prisoners to the jail. I'll join you there later.
At least Washington will live to get hung.
Yeah. Put him down here.
Mark, what's the meaning of this? I'm no criminal.
Be quiet. Venno talk, Johnny.
No, I guess he'll never regain consciousness. Too bad.
Well, maybe Washington will talk. He saw who shot Cullum.
He saw? You mean he shot? He's Venno's partner.
No, only an accessory after the fact, and Cullum's getting shot. He withheld information. That's what his surprise was to be, Johnny. He was going to blackmail you to get the girl, Sherry.
You're nuts. We got proof tonight that he tipped Venno to where the real payroll was.
No, you did that. You double-crossed him deliberately. You shot the sheriff. You were Venno...
Shut the guns and stand with Washington faces to the wall.
Don't be stupid, Johnny. You can't kill us all.
We'll see about that. The curtains are down. Now, when I lock this door, it'll just be the 4 of us. In private.
Great. Popeye rattlesnakes. I think he means...
Yeah. But first, I want to know a few things. I've got to know if I made any mistakes someone else might catch.
You made your biggest when you invited Venno to come here.
He served his purpose. I got half the loot from his jobs. He discredited the sheriff. And now I'll be made sheriff and get the reward for the capture of Venno's gang.
You should have gotten rid of that mirror in your saddlebags, Johnny. It gave you away.
How?
Simple. You used it as a heliograph to let Venno know the posse's position when you began searching the rocky section. With no trail to follow, the posse was hunting blind. All Venno had to do was keep circling around you.
Pretty smart. Go on, what tipped you to me?
The way you tried to shut up that outlaw, Smith.
I didn't mean to kill him. Just knock him out to keep him quiet. He was the only one besides Venno that knew I was Venno's partner. I'd have let him escape later.
Oh, sure. And tonight you'd have killed him with Venno. When you called on them to surrender, you knew they'd fight.
I did. Venno and Smith had to die. It was a necessity.
Cullum knows Smith didn't shoot him, Johnny. The wound in his leg is horizontal. Smith was above him. If he'd shot Cullum, the wound would have been slanted downward.
I could have killed Ike, but I didn't.
No credit to you. You knew if Cullum was killed, he'd have been a martyr to the town. And you'd have been a kid trying to fill a man's boots. This way...
This way I did what Ike failed to do. And the town thinks I'm a hero. They'll elect me sheriff before tomorrow. Well, that's enough. Got anything funny to say before I finish you three off?
Yeah. You heard the one about the man who was hanged for murder?
You kill me, Cassidy. Now I'll do the same for you.
Benno, can you hear me? Thanks for getting Johnny.
You heard him. He killed Smitty, the dirty...
What was Smitty to you?
My sister's kid. Promised her I'd look after it.
Benno. He's gone, California.
He was the stubbornest dying hombre I ever saw. Lucky for us.
Yeah, he was a killer, but there was good in him. Well, we'll send someone back to take care of him. Come on, Washington. You're going to jail.
Funny. Johnny's invite to Venno brought death to both of them.
Uh-huh. Being a crook is mighty unhealthy work.
Ain't that the truth? You know, I'm so happy. I'm honest. I could sing.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. There's Sheriff Cullum up on crutches. He'd run you in for disturbing the peace.
Maybe he's got more of an ear for music than you got, Hop.
That's what I mean.
Oh, just listen anyway. You know, something I've been practicing.
Yeah?
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie.
Hey, you, Carson, come here.
Uh-oh, I warned you, California.
Hey, just what's the big idea, you old grizzly?
No, Sheriff, I didn't mean to disturb. We're just leaving.
Why didn't you tell me you could sing?
I ain't
had no one to harmonize with in years. Try a chorus of the old mill stream with me, huh?
Well, I'll be delighted. But we best get away from Hoppy. He ain't got no appreciation of fine singing. One, two, down by the old strong where I first did.
Hop Along Cassidy, Untuned to Yesterday from March 26, 1951, a syndicated recording. And although up to that point in television's short history, the Hop Along Cassidy 60-minute motion pictures, about 52 of them, were a staple of NBC's weekend programming, it was a year after the broadcast we just heard that Hop Along Cassidy got its own television series, which aired from 1952 through 1954, producing 40 new episodes, with about 12 of those theatrical releases cut down for a half-hour time slot. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now movie actor Jimmy Stewart stars as Britt Ponsett, the six-shooter, in an NBC episode from March 7, 1954.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the six-shooter. Just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with one of your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press, America's number one newsmaking program. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the six-shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
The fire had almost gone out, and the evening chill crept through the chinks in the rough-hewn logs of the cabin walls. But the man standing at the window made no attempt to stir the embers into flame. Instead, he stared at the graying sky and the purple hills, his eyes constantly narrowing as they tried to penetrate the lengthening shadows. A noise at the door behind him caused the man to spin around. His guns hovered in midair.
Who's there?
Me, Wilbur. They're coming, Floyd. I seen them from the top of the ridge.
How many?
15, maybe more. It's pretty dark, but 15 anyway.
That ought to be enough.
Yeah.
Why'd you come back, Wilbur? How come you didn't run off like the others?
Well, I couldn't leave you here alone, Floyd. We've been together too long.
I ain't giving up. No matter how many there are, I ain't giving up.
Sure. That's what I figured.
You figured I'd fight it out and you come back anyhow?
Back, ain't it?
Yeah. Here. Load them for me.
Huh?
My guns. Load them.
But, Floyd...
You got bullets, ain't you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, it's just that... I ain't never seen you take them off before. Never thought I'd see the day when Floyd Winters would take off his guns, hand them to another man. What makes you so trusting all of a sudden?
I've found out who I can trust. Found it out tonight. You didn't run off with the rest.
If Russ was here, nobody would have run off.
Maybe. But Russ ain't here. Go on, Wilbur. Load them for me.
Floyd Winters handed the gun belt to his friend, turned and glanced out of the window. Wilbur English lifted one of the revolvers from its holster and checked the cylinder. There were two bullets inside. He raised the gun and pointed it at the other man's back. He calmly squeezed the trigger twice. The man at the window fell forward, shattering the glass.
I'd spotted the campfire, maybe about 15 minutes back, just before the trail swung down from Yellow Mesa into the canyon. I should have come on it by now. I was pretty sure it was somewhere around along here. But all I could see was just pitch black in every direction. Easy, boy, easy. Whoa. Well, maybe it's just been my imagination. Maybe, no, doggone it, that's smoke, all right. Whoa, Scar, whoa. Slid out of the saddle and moseyed around for a minute or two. Then I felt something warm through the toe of my boot. It was not just warm, either. It was... Well, that fire hadn't been out very long. Somebody had just finished burying it under a pile of dirt and sand. So I walked...
Get him up, Russ. Hi.
What?
Hi, I said. I ain't bluffing. You ought to know that.
Okay. But there's just one thing...
Don't turn around. Don't try nothing fancy, neither. You alone?
Yeah, I'm alone. But
wasn't very smart, Russ.
Now, look, mister. I don't happen to be Russ, whoever he
is.
You
think I don't recognize you? You think I don't know you've been after me ever since it happened?
Now, all I'm saying...
I felt you. Out there in the dark, I felt you coming closer and closer. And so I built this here fire and waited, and then I put it out just before you got here. Figured you'd get curious and stop. Figured I'd have the draw on you.
Just listen to me, will
you? I ain't afraid to kill you, Russ. I ain't afraid to kill anybody now. You should have realized that. You should have realized that anybody else would be easy. After Floyd. And even you, Russ. You're going to be easy.
Well, I never have believed in trying to get off a shot when another man has the draw, but the way things were going, it looked like I had to risk it. There just didn't seem to be any way of reasoning with him and making him understand who I was. I heard him take another step. I went down on one knee and twisted around, grabbed my gun. Its shot just skimmed across the part of my hair. Thought it looked like I'd managed to do a little better than that. I heard his gun skid out of his hand, and he went over backwards. He didn't fall, though. He just sat down with a thud. And he stayed that way, sitting there in a heap, just staring at the ground. I picked up his gun and moved in close. It was pretty dark, but I could make out a little fella, short, clumpish, with a kind of a white face. He kept his eyes down, as if he couldn't raise his head, and as if he just didn't want to bring himself to look at me.
Go on, Rusky. You get it over with. Don't make me wait. Don't make me beg. No, it wouldn't do no good. Whatever I said, whatever I told you, wouldn't do no good. Please, please get it over. I was quick with Floyd. He never knew a thing, never knew what hit him. I swear. Don't just keep me sitting here waiting. Don't do that.
You better tie something around that hand.
Huh? What?
Now, use your handkerchief or a piece of shirt tail or something.
Why, you really ain't Russ.
I tried to tell you that before.
Oh, but I thought from where you were standing, where you looked just... Oh, I don't know. I was certain. I don't see how I could have been wrong.
Well, you sure were, mister.
Well, you must still be around here somewhere. He must still be following me.
Now, I've been on this trail all day. I haven't seen a single soul but you.
No, you ain't lying to me.
Oh, well, why should I lie to
well,
you?
Well, I didn't mean that. No, don't pay no attention to me, huh? I'm kind of upset.
Yeah. Well, go on. Do something about that hand.
Oh, sure. It ain't hurt bad. The bullet just went through fatty part.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next time you try to shoot somebody, you might find out who it is.
Oh, I'm awful sorry. Be more careful.
Yeah.
My name's Jones. Warren Jones.
Is that so?
Yeah. What's yours, mister?
Ponson. Britt Ponson.
The six shooter?
Yeah, some folks say that. My name's Ponson.
Oh, no wonder you was so handy with a gun. Well, I sure am glad to meet you, Mr. Ponson.
The Jones, you said?
Yeah, that's right.
Not English? Not Wilbur English?
What are you talking about?
Well, I thought maybe you made another mistake tonight.
Another one?
Well, you were wrong about who I was. You sure you're not wrong about who you are, too?
Well, I guess it don't do me no good to lie to you. Yeah, you're right. My name is English.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't met up before.
Oh, but I've heard about you.
Oh?
Yeah. And about how you killed Floyd Winters a couple of weeks ago. I heard about that.
Oh. Well, news sure does travel, don't it?
Some news does, yeah. I reckon it does.
You didn't know I was in these here parts, did you? You hadn't heard I was heading this way.
What?
Well, you seemed so certain about who it was, I thought maybe you were expecting to run into me.
No, you weren't very hard to figure out, English. The way you thought I was somebody else and named Russ, and the way you kept harping about Floyd.
Oh, well, now, here, listen, Mr. Ponson. You won't tell anybody that we met up. You won't tell them where I am.
No, that?
You know he's looking for me, don't you? No, he swore he'll kill me.
You mean Russ Winters?
Well, sure, that's what I mean. And nobody's even trying to stop him. I thought folks would all be on my side now. I thought they'd be grateful for what I'd done. Been trying to catch Floyd for years. I saved him the trouble.
That's true enough.
Well, they act like killing him was wrong. They act like he was some kind of a hero.
Well, Floyd Winters wasn't any kind of a hero. I sure go along with that.
Well, then why is everybody against me? Why don't they capture us?
Oh, I expect they will before long.
When? After he's murdered me? Don't they realize that he's just as bad as Floyd ever was? They were two of a kind.
Well, you ought to know, English. You were part of their gang, weren't you?
I never denied that. Yeah, but I wasn't mean like Floyd and Russ. Oh, yes, I did my share of harm. I rode with them on plenty of holdups. But I never killed nobody. All the time I was with the Winters brothers, I never killed nobody.
Except Floyd. You killed him.
Well, that was different. He was an outlaw, wasn't he? Had it coming to him. Besides, if I hadn't shot him, there'd have been more killing. Don't you see that posse that was coming? Some of them, I was saving their lives.
And earning yourself a reward and a pardon at the same time, huh?
I wasn't thinking of that. I wasn't thinking of myself.
You weren't, huh?
No, sir. Oh, what good did it do me anyhow? Russ is hunting me down, and folks say that he's right. They say that I'm a coward, that I shouldn't have shot Floyd in the back. Oh, it's easy enough to talk, Brad. They didn't know him, but I did. I had to shoot him in the back. There wasn't any other way.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a convenient killing, too, wasn't it? With the posse outside ready to take you both?
You're just like all the others, aren't you, Ponsett? You make a big thing out of law and order, but it's got to be done just so. It don't matter how many men Floyd Winters murdered in cold blood. Oh, just because he was shot in the back, you feel sorry for him. You hold it against him.
Now, look here. I don't feel sorry for Winters or anything that happened to him.
Well, then you're the only one who...
And I'm not going to spend half the night arguing about it either. Now, here's your gun. Now, why don't you just be a little more careful with it from now on, huh? So long.
You're just going to leave me here, huh?
What are you talking about? You said your hand wasn't hurt bad. You got a horse, haven't you?
Oh, sure. I got a horse. He's over there in those trees, but...
But what?
Well, I told you that Russ is after me. If he catches me alone, he'll kill me for sure.
Well, you don't even know he's in the neighborhood.
Well, you don't know that he is, and why can't I ride along with you, Ponsett? You're heading towards Single Pine, ain't you?
Yeah.
Well, Russ wouldn't try nothing if you were with me.
No.
But, maybe you want him to kill me. Maybe you think that it's what I deserve.
Now, hold on. Hold on now. Even if folks don't exactly approve of what you did to Floyd, the way you did it, I mean, well, nobody feels that Russ has got any right to revenge.
And it's okay for me to ride along with you just as far as Single Pine.
What do you figure to do there?
Well, I got to meet up with Sheriff Preston. He's leaving for Cheyenne tomorrow, delivering a prisoner. He promised to take me along with him.
Oh.
That's where my pardon's waiting, in Cheyenne. And the reward money.
I see.
I'm entitled to it, ain't I?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you've earned it, all right.
Sheriff Preston gave me his word. He said he'll see to it that I get to Cheyenne okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike Preston's a good man. Haven't got anything to worry about that.
Oh, yeah, but... to make it to Single Pine first, Ponsett. I got to make it that far on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what'd he say?
All right, English. Get your horse. We rode on through most of the night, Wilbur, English, and me. Along about 11 o'clock, we stopped to rest, but Wilbur was so doggone nervous and skittery, I just couldn't get any sleep, so we started off again. Must have been about noon when we finally hit Single Pine. The main street wasn't very crowded, a couple of wagons, two or three ladies in the mercantile, and old Judge Hendricks sunning himself in front of the livery stable. Everything seemed pretty normal, just about what you'd expect on a Tuesday. That didn't keep Wilbur from looking back over his shoulder every once in a while, like he thought somebody was getting ready to put a bullet in the nape of his neck. Yeah. We headed over to the hitch and rail in front of Sheriff Preston's office and pulled up. Who's going? Whoa.
Come on over.
Well, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Ponsett.
Now, enough to thank me for. I didn't do anything.
Well, you never know what might have happened if you had...
What's the matter, Andy?
That fellow standing there... In the shade beside that store.
What about him?
Well, I can't make him out. Not real clear, but... He does sort of look like Russ.
It does, huh? He looks a whole lot more like Ben Fletcher. That happens to be his hardware store he's leaning up against, too.
Oh.
Now, come on. Let's get inside. Look at it. Yeah. Sounds like he's asleep, doesn't it?
That's a fine way for a sheriff to be acting. Suppose that had been Russ Winters out there just now.
Well, it wasn't. And this isn't Sheriff Preston either.
What?
No, he's Phil Waterman. Hey, Phil. Hey, come on. Come on, wake up, Phil.
Fred, what are you doing right here?
Well, a man has to come in town every once in a while. Yeah.
Looks like you're taking pretty easy, Phil.
Baby's got the colic. Didn't get a wink of sleep all night long.
Is that so? Well, I hope it's nothing serious.
No, no, no. Doc says he'll be all right in a couple of days.
Oh, fine. Glad to hear. Is Mike around?
Yeah, you just missed him, Britt.
Oh?
He left about an hour ago. I'm holding down before he comes back.
You mean the sheriff's already gone to Cheyenne?
Hmm?
You heard me? He's gone?
No, no. He had to take some men over toward Red Rock. He's putting off his trip to Cheyenne for a day or so.
He's putting it off, is he?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Just sit around and wait for him? The sheriff off gallivanting somewhere? Who's going to protect me?
Just what is it you need protecting from, mister?
This is Wilbur English, Phil.
Oh.
Well, the sheriff promised that he'd see that I got to Cheyenne. He promised he'd take me with him.
Well, he can't take you till he goes himself. But he left word he was expecting you. Said I was to tell you to sit tight and not leave town.
I might have known that he'd pull a stunt like this.
Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
You're a fancy sheriff. That's what I'm talking about. I told you they all want Russ to kill me. They all think I got it coming. Well, why do you think that Sheriff Preston picked today to leave town so that he'll be out of the way if Russ shows up, so he won't have to do nothing towards stopping him? That's what?
Now, you listen here. If Mike Preston said he'll take you to Cheyenne, he'll take you there. He ain't never gone back on his word yet. Not even with a murdering outlaw. I forgot you ain't an outlaw anymore. You're just a public-spirited citizen. All right, Mr. Public-spirited citizen. You get yourself over to that hotel across the street and you stay there. When Mike comes back, I'll tell him where you are. Well, what are you waiting for? How in thunder did you happen to come into town with him?
Oh, we met up accidentally last night. He seemed kind of anxious for company.
Yeah. Funny, ain't it? The way you feel about a man like that.
Hmm?
Well, getting rid of Floyd Winters was a blessing. There's no doubt about it. And I guess we all owe English something for killing him. If he hadn't done it when he did, nobody knows how many other men would have been shot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but somehow, in spite of all that, it's pretty hard to like English very much, ain't it?
Yeah, it seems like it's darn near impossible, doesn't it, Phil? Well, I had something to eat over at Molly Davis's cafe, and then I did my errands. Got myself a new pair of boots and a haircut. And I almost fell asleep sitting in that barber's chair. I guess that was to be expected, seeing as how I didn't get much rest the night before. And the idea of taking a little siesta sort of crossed my mind. Not that I usually nap in the daylight, you understand, but I... Well, I went over to the hotel and rented myself a room. And I was planning to stay in town overnight anyhow, so I figured I might as well get my money's worth out of the bed I was paying for. After all, it's cost me 50 cents. Must have been about 4:15 when I heard somebody pounding at the door. Yeah? Yeah, who is it?
It's me, Wilbur.
Oh, all right. Come on in.
He's here. He's in Single Pine.
What? Well, what are you talking about?
Didn't you hear what I said? Russ Winters is here in Single Pine right now. He's here this afternoon.
No, take it easy, English.
You've got to help me get away, Ponson. You got to.
You imagine you saw him a couple of times before. Do you remember that?
Well, maybe I did, but this ain't my imagination.
Hmm?
Go on. Go on, read it.
What's this? You don't have much longer to wait, Russ.
Well?
Well, where'd it come from?
He shoved it under the door to my room.
Did you see him?
I didn't have to see him.
Well, I'd say if Russ Winters was in town and knew where you were staying, he wouldn't waste any time sending you notes.
It's just what he'd do, Ponson. He liked to torture me. He'd like nothing better.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so. Sheriff back yet?
I don't know, and I'm not waiting around to find out.
Oh?
There's a train for Cheyenne at 4:30. I'm taking it.
Mm-hmm. I thought Sheriff Preston said you were to sit tight.
Oh, sure. Sit tight and be murdered. You seen that message? Seen it with your own eyes. You don't expect me to stick around here after that, do you?
Yeah, if I was in your place,
but you're not in my place, Ponson.
That's so. I'm not.
But you got to do something for me.
No?
Just see me to the station and make sure I get aboard that train, all right? Ain't much to ask, is it?
Oh, it depends on whether Russ Winter's really in town or not.
But I tell you, he won't shoot if somebody's watching. He won't take a chance until he's sure killed me.
I still think you're making a mistake. I think you ought to stick around until the sheriff comes back.
Oh, I don't care what you think.
Okay, English, go ahead. I'll keep an eye on you.
Well, come on.
What for? The depot's right across the street. I've got a front window here. I won't have any trouble watching you from here. Go on. Well, the train pulled in right on time, 4:30. I saw Wilbur English climb aboard. As far as I could tell, he was the only passenger getting on the Single Pine. I looked up and down the street. Nobody seemed to be paying any attention to him one way or the other. Well, I figured that'd be about the last we'd see of him. As soon as he collected his reward money, he'd probably head east. Back there, he can stay out of Russ Winter's way. And Russ would probably he'd be captured sooner or later. Just a question of time. The only thing that puzzled me was that note English had found. I thought maybe I ought to tell Phil Waterman about it, so I walked over to the sheriff's office.
Yeah, might have known it. So that's what they were up to, those little devils.
What's that?
The McPherson kids. I went over to the hotel to see if English got a room all right. He was sort of my responsibility as long as Mike was out of town.
Yeah, sure.
Well, just as I got to the top of the stairs, I saw Sandy McPherson's two boys standing outside English's room.
Mm-hmm.
They ran off just as soon as I spotted them, so I figured they'd been doing something they shouldn't.
Oh. Well, you think it was a couple of kids put that note under the door?
Well, must have been.
Oh, I'll be darned.
Yeah, they probably heard he was in town, maybe even recognized him going into the hotel.
Yeah.
I guess they thought they'd give him a little scare. You know, English isn't very popular, even with the kids, Brick.
Uh-huh, yeah, I know that.
They made up a song about him and how he killed Floyd Winters.
Is that so?
Sure. First thing you know, folks will be forgetting that Winters was an outlaw and a murderer. They'll just remember that he was shot in the back by one of his own men. And they'll say that that was wrong, and they'll feel sorry for him. And we'll have Wilbur English to thank for that, too. Yeah, maybe that's why I ain't so sure he done us any favors. No matter how you look at it.
Say, isn't that Mike pulling up over there?
Hmm? Yeah. He must have been doing some fast traveling. Look at the foam on that Pinto's flanks. Wonder how he made it.
Oh, hello, Mike.
Howdy, Britt. Britt, what are you doing here?
I was just passing the time of day.
Oh?
Everything all right, Sheriff?
Yeah, it's pretty good, Phil, pretty good. I thought we were going to get Russ Winters this afternoon, but he slipped through our fingers again.
You mean Russ was really in the neighborhood here?
Well, not exactly, Britt. Not exactly. Closest he got was about 15 miles east. I heard he was heading our way, though, so I took some of the boys out to see if we couldn't bring him in. We picked up his trail, too, and we were gaining on him, but he hightailed it into Red Rock and grabbed the train just as it was about to pull out. Depot agent remembered him, description and all. I telegraphed ahead. They'll be waiting for him in Cheyenne when he gets there.
He took the Cheyenne train?
Union Pacific Express. You know, Britt. One leaves here at 4:30.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. Well, they arrested Russ Winters in Cheyenne, all right. Didn't even try to get away. But Wilbur English, Wilbur never got there. The passenger said it happened just after Russ got aboard at Red Rock. Wilbur took one look at him and started running through the cars. And when he got to the back platform, well, he just didn't stop. And he fell 75, 80 feet right straight down the side of a ravine. He didn't have a chance. The funny thing was that the folks who saw it, they said that Russ Winters hadn't made a move toward him. Not a move.
If a neighbor in distress came to your door, would you help him? Of course you would. But not everyone who needs help can come to you personally. It may be a flood victim in Ohio, the victim of an earthquake in California, of a hurricane in Texas. Or it might be your boy, or your neighbor's boy in Korea, needing an emergency furlough to come home. Disaster can strike in many places and for as many reasons. And when it does strike, even though you might not be there to help in person, you can help through your Red Cross. That's why the Red Cross volunteer calls on you. He calls in the name of the helpless and injured, of the little girl who needs blood to save her life, of the serviceman who must fly to the bedside of his dangerously ill parent or child. So when the Red Cross volunteer comes to your door, meet him with a smile and answer the call. Join and serve, and wear your Red Cross button proudly. It means that in any emergency, in any disaster, you are there serving humanity. The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Frank Gerstle as Floyd Winters, Herb Vigran as Phil Waterman, Barney Phillips as Mike Preston, and Paul Richards as Wilbur English. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Oh, by the way, you'll be interested in knowing, The Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Listen to Jan Murray in Sunday at Home on the NBC Radio Network.
The Six Shooter, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 7th, 1954 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.